Right, welcome back everyone to the old switcheroo where we're talking gaming retro with Mike and JMO.
I'm Mike.
And I'm JMO. And today we are revving and racing our way through part of the 200 plus online catalog of retro games included in Nintendo Switch Online. Today we are focusing on three games, Excite Bike, Versus Excite Bike, and Excite Bike 64, in an episode that I am calling Triple X. What do you think, Mike? What do you think of that title?
Honestly, I mean, I'm weirdly distracted by the way the titles look. It seems I'm reading this as Excite Bike versus Excite Bike as a concept.
Right, because the first game in the series is called Excite Bike. The second game, or the second X, if you will, is Versus Excite Bike. So side by side, it looks like some sort of like mirror match.
it's like a weird spy versus spy thing.
Yeah. So we got Excite Bike versus Excite Bike, and then the subtitle of that game would be Excite Bike 64. Almost implying that you've done 63 other Excite Bikes, and at this point, you know what? What if Excite Bike is just going to fight itself? Well, okay, so I have to be honest. I have ulterior motives with this title. I wanted to get something on the record, and I figure this is a podcast, right? We are recording this on Sunday, October 1st, and I want to timestamp this thing because I have a prediction, and I have a feeling that this is going to make the podcast blow up because then, you know, we'll publish this. So are you at all familiar with the Fast and Furious movies?
Sort of, yes. I've seen the first one and I saw the one spinoff.
Okay. So are you aware that they are currently doing the quote unquote last film in the series, but they've split it up into a 3-part movie? Did you hear about that?
I didn't know they split it up.
Yeah. So Fast X is part one of the 3-part finale. And here's my prediction. Okay. You ready, internet?
Shouldn't that really be Fast 3 1/3?
What? Oh, because it's 1/3 of Fast X.
Yes.
Okay. With a 3 repeating. So a line over it. That actually be pretty cool. My prediction, because remember, this is a Vin Diesel action franchise. I am calling it right here. The final Fast and Furious movie will be called what, Mike? It's the third Fast X movie.
I mean, I don't know which way you're going with this, honestly.
Fast Triple X, because they're going to bring Vin Diesel's other action franchise, Triple X, and have him be a character in the final movie, so it'll be two Vin Diesels. Dominic Toretto is going to meet Xander Cruz. What do you think?
Wouldn't that be the 30th movie?
Why are you doing this to me? Why can't you just let me have this?
I mean, I get where you're going with on
three Fast X's, and if Fast X is the 10th movie, then yeah, all right.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you know something? You deserve this now.
No, I'm going to say, I totally understand you're being like, you know, they're going to Freddy versus Jason this, but yes, with two Vin Diesels.
Yes.
But you can't look at me to be like, well, it's going to be Fast and Furious X. What's the third of those going to be? And then
you're aware that those Vin Diesel movies are called Triple X.
I'm aware that those exist. Okay. I'm saying you started with a counting system that I'm familiar with and then expected me to discard that to tie this in. I'm saying I see where you're going, but I feel like you directed me down the wrong way.
Do you remember BMX Triple X?
Not.
Do you remember this moment in gaming history?
I don't remember it, but I think I have heard about this.
Yeah, it's just really weird. It was like back in the Tony Hawk era when those games could do no wrong, and then it spun off into all these different bike games, and then like some studio was like, oh, well, why not we just add titillation to it? And so it was like this very generic biking game, but then you could like unlock cutscenes of like actual strippers. Super weird, but given my title and the dirt biking sort of theme, I kind of felt like I had to mention it. Are there any biking games you enjoy? Because I kind of occurred to me that my two favorite biking games are both on the 32X.
I'll say before we move on to that, with that title, I will say I think they did worse than you, because shouldn't that be BMX XX or BM Triple X? Like the fact that it's BMX and then they just added 3 more X's is...
It somehow feels lazy, even though there's more letters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now we're up to 32 X's.
There you go. Enough math for this thing. I'm gonna guess your favorite motorcycle game up until the games we're covering today. You really liked the Road Rash series, I remember.
I would say I think I only played one of them, but I did have one of them on Game Boy.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Any other motorcycle games you have fond memories of?
I'm having to think. I think I tended more towards cars,
Mean, I guess
racing
Paperboy.
games.
You can count Paperboy.
Never been big on Paperboy. Like
Oh,
not
you're not a paper boy boy.
I don't have a problem with it. It's just doesn't jump to my mind as much.
Okay, I like paper boy.
I was actually I think it had bikes in it, not necessarily motorcycles. I think PlayStation had the X Games
Yeah,
stuff. That
those are
comes to
popular.
mind. Although that wasn't the strongest part out of it for me. I'm thinking Luge was the best, the
Yeah, I
Street
remember you
Luge.
liked those. Yeah. There was two motorcycle games that I really liked, both on the Sega 32X. One was called Motocross Championship, which is, I think, kind of like the game I wanted these games to be. It had, big air and like the, kind of whipping around muddy turns, and you could even like kick the player next to you and like knock him off their bike, which felt really fun. And then BC Racers. I'm basically just including this to give a shout out to my brothers because we wasted so much time with this game. It was like a Mario Kart spin-off, but like, what if all of the characters were cavemen and you were like, driving around prehistoric tracks? Super cartoony, but
Did it have
I
bicycles?
did they have bicycles? No.
Okay, because like that's clearly three wheels on that thing.
Yeah, it's a bike of some kind. I don't know. So speaking
It's
of bikes,
trike.
it's a Triceratops. Yeah. So speaking of bikes of some kind, let's jump into our first game of today, which is Excitebike on the NES, released in 1985. I'm going to read the official description on Nintendo Switch Online. It says, "Face crazy curves, hairpin turns, and daredevil jumps as you race toward the checkered flag and the Excitebike Championship. Race against the clock or challenge an opponent. You must keep your bearings as you fly through the air and avoid getting clipped by other racers. Stay cool under pressure or your bike will overheat. If you get tired of racing on the circuit, create your own course in design mode. There you have obstacles to all the ramps, mounds, bridges, and other obstacles Excitebike has to offer." So, Excitebike, let's take a look at
Hey,
the
can we start with
original.
that description?
Yeah, what you got to say, Mike?
Can you reread the first like bit of that half sentence of that?
But face crazy curves?
Yeah.
Okay, what? Oh, there's no curves.
There's no curves. In fact,
Right.
and the second one was hairpin turns.
There's no turns.
Yeah, like the first two things it said this game has, it doesn't have.
That's
It is
hilarious.
like side-scrolling racing.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe we're meant to, so what Mike's referring to is that the Excitebike game, for those of you that haven't hopped online, although these first two games we're going to be discussing, they're available at the base level subscription. So pretty much anybody listening to this probably access it for free on the NES emulator on their Switch. Excitebike is a motorcycle racing game on a system that could not handle 3D graphics, so it's handled like a side scroller. And you can't, so there's no turns. You can just change lanes kind of up or down, moving closer to or away from the camera. That's so funny.
Yeah, they led with things it doesn't do.
Yeah.
And because the later stuff, I mean, they talk about overheating. They talk about the need to sort of
Jumps.
be precise in how the orientation of the bike and everything. Everything else was valid. Just they started with something that's like not remotely in this game.
Yeah, false advertising right out the gate. Well, let's see if the covers or the box art is false advertising. We've got the Excitebike logo in North American release across the center of the screen there. And you've got the pixelated graphics, which was the style at the time, quote Abe Simpson. And I don't know. I mean, there's not a whole lot to it, but I thought kind of cool. Got the little motion lines implying he's going really fast. He's popping a wheelie. So I kind of like the cover. I think I strangely like it better than the Japanese cover, Mike. What's your impression of these two?
I think as a game cover, I like the North American version more. It's got, or it reminds me of some of what I think about, like some of the old Atari
Yeah,
things
with the
as
actual
well.
pixel graphics on the cover.
Yeah, and just of, you know, what to expect. The second one, it's a cool image. I just, it doesn't feel like it has enough that actually conveys this game to me. And I think that may be because we have two writers on here that seem to be going at like 90 degree angles from one another off things.
Yeah, it's weird. So Mike's, you know, I'll describe it for people who aren't watching this on YouTube. The Japanese cover is not pixelated graphics of the actual game. It's like a kind of a comic book representation. So you get a lot more detail. You get the crowd in the background. You get some actual dirt hills. But they don't look like they're racing one another. One is sort of jumping towards the camera, but then the racer behind him is, I don't know, he looks depressed. Like, he doesn't even look like he's moving.
I think he's just reaching the top of that hill.
Sure, sure. But I mean, but I don't see like a sense of implied motion, really. Where like every other bike on the screen right now, kind of, you can tell there's sort of a dynamic movement. It almost looks like he's come to a standstill. I don't know. It's sort of strange. This game was developed by Shigeru Miyamoto. We've talked about him a number of times. And what's interesting about it is that this game is largely in part to why Super Mario Brothers plays so well. Up until that point in side-scrolling games, your character usually moved all at the same speed. But for Excitebike, Shigeru Miyamoto developed this method of acceleration, where when a player presses the button, they don't just jump to the top speed. There should be a gradual buildup. And so he used that same mechanic and that same engine for Mario's running in Super Mario Brothers. And that's part of why that game is so good compared to other platformers of the era, is that, you know, Mario would actually dynamically pick up speed as you ran. And that was pretty cool.
So it's creating a sense of inertia in it.
A sense of inertia, exactly. Yeah. And we have Excitebike to thank for that. And this is according to the NES Encyclopedia, where we found that connection. So some trivia for you is that this game features a really novel custom track mode where you can edit your track. You're able to set up the hurdles, the jumps, the mud puddles. And Mike, did you play around at all with the track editor in Excitebike?
I did. And actually, what was interesting is the manual on the original one.
Uh-huh.
The version that I had for the manual apparently seems to be at a point that is an earlier version of the game than
okay.
what we have access to, in that it mentions like the saving a track thing is like, this is an option in the game for implementation later.
Huh. You have like a, not a retail release booklet you were looking at. That's pretty cool.
I wasn't sure, or if it was an early, or even if like an early version, they didn't quite have the kinks on that worked out.
So I might have some information on that. So I have two pieces of trivia about the track editor, is that it's pretty cool because when you're actually building the track, you can see your little racer sort of cruising along the bottom of the screen, and then you're just sort of adding the obstacles in front of him. And you don't have to like actually drive through the course. But that sort of operating system, that visual representation of creating a level while actually looking like the game itself, is essentially what Shigeru Miyamoto would use in Mario Maker. You know, in Mario Maker, you are just dropping objects directly into the Mario level, except that game is a lot more advanced. You can seamlessly shift from creation mode to test mode. And so you can kind of easily base, you know, your placement of things on, you know, where Mario can actually reach. The thing that I think the booklet might have been referring to, Mike, is that, have you ever heard of the Famicom Data Recorder?
No.
This was a rewritable memory system for the original Nintendo, available only in Japan. And you could save your Excitebike custom tracks onto cassette tapes. And then if I make a custom track, I could save it to the cassette tape, and it would, and then I could bring it to your house. And if you also had the data recorder, I could pop the cassette tape into your machine and you could play my track.
You could make someone a mixed track.
Yeah. And like, it's so cool, but like, I don't know. I don't think making tracks in Excitebike is that fun. It seems like this really elaborate thing for a part of the game that I don't imagine had a whole lot of legs. You're never going to believe this, though. So there was only a handful of games ever used this peripheral, the data recorder.
Interesting.
And so in addition to Excitebike, you could also save custom levels from the game Nuts and Milk. Do you remember Nuts and Milk, Mike? You don't remember Nuts and Milk? We've discussed this before.
Why did this come up? Was this the Burger Time one? Why did we have... What was this related to?
Someone worked on this game in addition to one of our other titles. And it's just like, it's sort of like the whole Kicked thing of like, there's these certain games that just keep coming up, even though they seem really strange to me. So I got a kick out of that. That once again, we're back in Nuts and Milk land. Okay, let's go to the joy pros of Excitebike.
Before I do that, here's the exact bit out of the manual is there's a bit when it explains the design mode of note. Save and load menu selections are not operable in this game. They have been programmed in for potential product developments.
Yeah, that seems like that doesn't seem like for consumers to read.
Everything else in this is.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm just wondering if this is an early version of this game. Because what's the year on this game again?
Well, I write down when it was released in America, so 1985.
Okay, yeah, no, this is a copyright 1985 manual. Yeah. So it seems to be the when that. Thing. Yeah.
I wonder if it was like a placeholder that someone forgot to delete.
Possibly.
Yeah, because it's in the game. It seems to be in the game.
That's why I was wondering if this was something that the very first copies didn't have and then a later copy fixed.
Well, going into the joy pros versus the joy cons of these games, I think Excitebike deserves a lot of credit. You know, they made a racing experience possible on really limited hardware. Other more modern games have done this. There's Trials and Joe Danger. Those are two games where it's a 2D bike game, and those are primarily about doing tricks and navigating obstacle courses. So it's not a race so much as it is, you know, can you reach the end of the track? But those are all on a single plane of action. And what I like about Excitebike is that since you can press up and down and change lanes, you can kind of snake your way through like the traffic and around obstacles and stuff. And I thought it kind of created this hectic feeling that the track was crowded and you're sort of threading the needle as you can find any sort of opening. What do you think about the way Excitebike plays?
I think there's certainly there's that element of it. I think what stands out to me, and I think I can't think of another game that has this as a function this much, which is because they kind of go with the logic of you don't really have control of how your jump goes once you're in the air, but what you have control over is the position of the bike.
Yeah, your angle of when you land.
Yeah, and I like the way that that does work for how you land is very much the difference between a crash and effectively gaining speed. Like there's a wide range of how those landings go. And I can't think of too many other racing games offhand that are really that picky about how you land, and you can really pick up a lot if you can hit those landings well.
Yeah, and it's this level of finesse that I never really got the hang of in any of these games, where like I'm used to racing games where it's like you go off a jump and it's like Jesus take the wheel and you just sort of fly through the air and then you land and you keep racing. Or even, you know, Mario Kart, like you're controlling where you land with hang gliders. But, you know, this one, like, you don't want to go full speed off every jump, because if you do that in certain situations, you will be landing on another jump, but on the incline of it. And, like, it kills all your speed, as I imagine it would in, like, real life. And so it's this matter of really knowing the tracks and, like, knowing when you should hit the turbo for the jump and knowing when you should, like, kind of take it easy so you land in a better position. I don't know. I felt like there was a lot there, and I feel like someone who gets really good at Excitebike would probably be really impressive to watch.
Yeah, no, I would definitely agree. It adds a tactical sort of element to this that is not just how fast can you go and maintain control. You really have to strategize it a bit more. And that'll be a recurring theme, I think, here that we'll discuss in some aspect.
Yeah. And, you know, even down to like, you know, the turbo boost. Well, plenty of racing games have a turbo boost, but it's so easy to like overheat in this game. And then you sort of pull over to the side and your engine has to reset or cool off or whatever. And so I thought it was neat that there's boost pads in this game, but they don't actually make you go faster. They just cool your engine. And I think that's a much better system because then it's like you're still gaining the benefit of driving over the boost pad, but it's up to you when you want to implement this new speed you've now been allotted. Do you follow my logic?
I did. I didn't realize that's what they were doing.
Yeah. But I think that's cool. Attacking in this game is also really cool. And it essentially works the same way. Well, it doesn't work exactly the same way, but it started here. You can take down other racers if you cause them to hit your back wheel. So if someone runs into you from behind or you cut them off and they come in contact with your back wheel, they'll fall down and you'll do a little celebration. And it's really cool because it's giving a greater advantage to the person in the lead. And that's the opposite of Mario Kart, but it feels a bit more fair, especially since this method, you still have a bit of combat involved, but it prevents bagging. Are you familiar with what bagging is?
No.
Bagging is this very elaborate technique that competitive Mario Kart players do, where they will deliberately stay behind in the first two laps so that they can get the best items and weapons in the last lap and win. And it's very high skill ceiling. It's not like an easy thing to do, but it sure feels cheap to have somebody deliberately losing just to kind of put it all into that last lap. But this way, though, you know, you can only really attack people if you are in the front, kind of, you know, defending your lanes. And so I think it's this fun sort of risk reward moment when you're trying to pass somebody and, you know, get ahead of them so you can cut them off before they cut you off. I don't know. I think it was just a cool system. Did you play aggressively in these games?
No, I don't think I did. Although I will say, I think also it's not as much of an issue. Like you bring up Mario Kart thing, but the Mario Kart thing also allows attack at a distance
Right.
in many different senses of that. Whereas this really is, it's giving an advantage to the person that's ahead,
Yeah.
but they are in that, you know, if in a natural race, they are in that position of they are in the advantageous position. And the other thing is, it gives them an advantage against someone immediately behind them. It's not giving them an advantage overall.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't, I think it creates more tension when you get to trying to pass someone, but it's not actually, it doesn't matter. It, you know, if someone's just trying to catch up, it doesn't really matter how close they are. Or,
Yeah.
you know, it doesn't matter they can hit someone because they're not close.
Do you have, I mean, it's a pretty simple game, you know. So, do you have any other joy pros, things you like about Excitebike?
I don't think there's anything, or actually, no, the other thing that I do kind of like about this is the way that this sets up the level structure in this, which is that you effectively have to do a qualifying race.
Yeah, see, that annoyed me. It's one of my Joy-Cons. What do you like about that?
What I like about that is in the context of each time you go back, if you know how good, you know, and you're trying to go further, because once you do the qualifying race, it'll put you further. If you do a later qualifying race, it basically puts you further in the progression when you start into like the main line of
Oh,
races.
so you're saying your qualifying time determines where how far ahead you start from the other racers.
It's that you have like a series of races you're going to be doing.
Yeah.
You can effectively go, I think I am good enough that I can qualify for the third in that series rather than have to do the first two and work my way up.
Oh, the qualifier skips unnecessary races.
Yes, it's sort of a way
Okay.
to, and so if you are not very good, you're doing the first qualifier and you're just starting it, and it's basically enough of you can get across the track in a lot of time.
Yeah.
You're starting at the first one. But if you know that you are good, so like I think for the amount of time that I put into this, I think I could qualify at the second level, and the third was iffy.
That is actually a cool idea. I didn't realize it was doing that, but like sort of assessing the player's skill and starting them off at a logical point instead of making them do the easy races first over and over again. I like that. I agree. That is a
And
joy pro.
if you can't qualify it, if you can't do the qualification, then it's kind of the game is effectively giving you like a, you shouldn't, you can't do this against nobody. If we're going to be having, throw anything else in, you should start at an earlier level and work your way up to this.
Yeah. But I think in a lot of ways, this game, it feels really severely limited by modern standards. So I'd like to transition into my Joy-Cons with the game. You're not actually racing against anybody. All the racers on the screen are just obstacles. It's the illusion of other racers. How well you do is based entirely on your time. And there's like set times for first place, fourth place, second, you know what I mean? And, you know, then we have like, you know, mode A, mode B. Well, if you're not playing through the single player mode, like, you know, mode A is just you playing by yourself. But why would you ever choose that? Because mode B is also you playing by yourself, essentially. Do you get what I'm saying here? There's no actual way for the game to keep track of where other racers are. So your success is entirely determined based on time.
I would say the big distinction there is, especially if you're trying to just get to know the tracks, and you mentioned knowing the tracks would matter.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly where you would not want to have other bikes there. Effectively, it's the distinction between a time trial versus at least competing at the same time as others. Even if it's sort of a faux competition, it's still like plenty of races have the idea of you're racing against a field versus you're the only one on the track.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying, though, is that since it's a faux competition, I feel like both modes are essentially just time trials, because that's all you're really doing is trying to beat a time. And these other racers, it's just less interesting in my mind. I see your point, though, as like a training tool sort of has merit. But, you know, to that end, you know, it really bums me out that the original Excitebike is solo player. I mean, a single player racing game is just, you know, I wrote down in my notes here, a pair of slinkies has a two-player racing mode if you're near a staircase. Like, I've never really been drawn to racing games where there's no way to compete against anybody. And we're going to talk about another game that adds that mode, but critiquing this game, I think it's pretty sorely missing.
Were there other racing games at the time?
I don't think there were many. They were pretty limited. So yeah, it wasn't really an expectation at this point is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think that at this point, and I especially imagine because you can't, with this kind of a visual display, you can't show two players on a single screen.
No.
You have to have two screens that you can show.
Well, that seems like a nice segue into our next game.
I think so as well.
Okay, so let's talk about our second game for today, which is the sequel to Excitebike called Versus Excitebike, released for the NES in 1988, only in Japan. All right, let me read the official description for Versus Excitebike from the Nintendo Switch Online menu. It says, fans love the Excitebike game for its frenetic races, high stakes, and sweet jumps. Hey, they got rid of the turns for you, Mike.
Yeah.
With this game, you can take it to the next level with the Famicom Disk version of Versus Excitebike, complete with two-player split screen. Create tracks from 20 classic Excitebike track parts and go for a best time or take on friends. Racing is even more exciting when the rivalries are real. Think you really know Excitebike? Try out the new enhanced single-player mode in Versus Excitebike. It adds tracks, music, and the ability to save your high score. Find out if you have what it takes to beat the best in the ultimate version of Excitebike. Pretty cool description. Pretty hype. Can we take a look at the cover?
Yeah, we can do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so very different cover. What's your impression, Mike, of the Japanese? Well, I guess I shouldn't say the Japanese version. This game only came out in Japan, so this is the only version of the cover.
I think it still doesn't quite capture racing the way it's laid out, but really that's a secondary concern.
So let's describe it for people who aren't on YouTube. The Versus Excitebike box art has, once again, the two racers, but now they're drawn like kind of chibi style, and they're sort of taunting each other. The blue racer is sort of throwing up a peace sign, and the red racer has sort of like a concerned or frustrated look in his little goggles. So what's your concern, Mike?
I was just going to say the giant heads.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a secret you unlock in our final game today.
I was wondering if that's related, or
Yeah,
not.
I wonder where the whole big head thing, that was a thing. Young kids these days, they don't know the big head era where you had like DK mode in GoldenEye and every game it seemed had like a big head cheat code.
I
Yeah,
think
I
it's
don't know.
because it was an asset that was easy just to tell the game to make larger without doing any
Sure.
real work.
And people found it amusing.
Yeah.
I think this is the best cover yet, though. I mean, of the three we've looked at, I think it's kind of cool, and I like that you have a little bit of the actual track in there. So, versus Excitebike was published by Nintendo and Hudson Soft. Lead developer was once again Shigeru Miyamoto. And I got some trivia here for you. This version of the game had the rewritable disc built into the cartridge, meaning you no longer needed the data recorder. So it renders that peripheral obsolete. And there was a Nintendo, or sorry, Mario themed remake of this game on the Satellaview peripheral. We'll be talking about that peripheral in our upcoming Zelda episode. But this was, again, this thing where you could download games on your Super Nintendo by using your satellite radio. And there was a Mario themed Excitebike you could download. And what's interesting about it is that, you have the Mario characters instead of the generic racers. You have piranha plants by the side of the track, Koopa, or sorry, Shy Guys up in the stands. And it had a special mode called Super Mode where you could pick up coins on the track to go faster. And I thought that was neat because that's essentially a mechanic that they would revisit in Mario Kart 8. So I think this looks pretty cool, Mike. I wish we could play this one.
Just out of curiosity, so was this still two player at most, or?
You know what? Good question, because it's the satellite view, so I don't know if this was going to have two players while you're connected to the satellite radio service. I say it's a sequel to Excitebike or versus Excitebike because it came later and seemed to have more features in common, but I'm not certain if it's two players or not.
And I am just kind of wondering how much of a range this had in playable characters, because there's so just with that screenshot, we've got Mario, Luigi, Wario, Toad, and a Koopa, right?
Couple of Koopas, yeah, the red shell Koopas.
Well, I mean, two
Yeah.
Koopas do not make two characters that it can be played.
Well, right.
That'd be weird if they decided to like really like lean into slightly different Koopas with different personalities or something. But yeah, so
It's
I'm
just sort of strange to me, though. I wonder if Saint Giga Radio like owns the rights to these games or something, because we're discovering a lot of these cool BS games, broadcast satellite games, that are like graphically improved versions of the NES games we're playing, but they're not accessible in like any way. Like, let me play this offline. I want to play this offline,
I kind of wonder if this is also just a thing where it's sufficiently not known that the work in making it playable, where they just may not think that there would be a market out of that.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. But so versus Excitebike, I got a lot of positive things to say about this game. I think it takes everything that made the original Excitebike fun and adds a ton of new modes that keep things interesting. So, first of all, as you can tell by the title, there's a two-player mode that Mike and I just tried before recording. I thought it was fun. Like, it worked well. We discussed it while playing. There was a sort of a weird anomaly where player one is the bottom screen and player two is the top. And that is absolutely not how split screen games work in every other version we've ever seen in every other game we've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm wondering more and more if this is so sufficiently innovative that we didn't have a default of first player, second player as top and bottom.
Right, like it was one of the very first split screens. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what's so strange though is that, a big part of this game is, catching big air over these jumps. But as we discovered, if the player on the bottom screen, which is player one, gets big air, they will fly up and block the view of player two's screen. And I don't know, it just like, I guess that's the way to do it because otherwise, if I fly off and can't see myself, then I can't position myself for the landing.
Yeah, well, I can't see them figuring out how to, or dealing with all the work of making the camera view change.
Yeah, like it cuts off at the split or whatever.
Yeah, so like it's not going to pan up to follow you,
No.
because I think that's too much. And then I am wondering if that's an intentional choice, or if that's, if it would have been, if it was easier to just let the sprite continue up,
yeah,
than it would have been to check where it was going to cross and then like have it cut off partially.
I mean, I think you, as you're just describing it, I think Occam's razor says your first explanation is probably the true one. But yeah, I mean, it's still, would you agree that it was still kind of a brain breaky moment, not only to see the split screen flipped from what we're used to, but also to see my character flying in front of your character?
Weirdly, that part didn't bother me. Yeah. I think it would initially set a minute of like, how do you get ahead of me? Wait, nope. But we got through far too much of a race before I realized I was watching the wrong screen.
Yeah.
That was nearly a lap.
Yeah, because I mean, well, that's actually kind of wild though, because that would meant that like I was doing the moves that you would have wanted to be doing.
It was throwing me, because I think one of the things I noticed with trying to play this online, I think with this, was there was just it had enough lag, and you're mostly just kind of going straight and off jumps. Like, there's not heavy amounts of control to go, this is definitely not doing what I mean to be doing.
Yeah.
There's only so much lane changing that you want to do. So it was only so much lane change where you have a clear enough area that that's a good idea. So it took a while to finally be a spot like, no, I'm definitely not. One of these is moving and it's not the one I've been watching. This is a problem.
Yeah. So, you know, the split screen versus mode, I think worked better than I expected it to, because this is an NES game. And we think of split screen, we think of like maybe Super Nintendo, but definitely like the N64 era doing that well. This also has a lot of differentiation in terms of presentation. So Excitebike, the original game, every track sort of looks the same and just the placement of the jumps are different. Versus Excitebike, you know, we have like, you know, different color backgrounds. You have like a pink level and a blue level, and it doesn't actually do anything, but it still just sort of visually broke up the game and made it feel like it, you know, I was going somewhere else. And also the game has all new music, which I thought was pretty catchy. I think my favorite addition is the bonus levels. Did you get to one of these, Mike?
No.
You didn't?
No.
So in single player mode, after every couple of races, you're have this bonus level, and your challenge is to jump over these trucks that have been stacked. So now it's like a platforming game, and you have like 30 seconds to get over a series of obstacles. And if you do it successfully, you'll actually earn another try, which means that you can like lose the game, or lose the race, excuse me, but not lose the game. And it says like extra try, and another little guy jumps out of one of these trucks. But I just loved it because it was like, this is gameplay variety. This is breaking it up, and it's the same mechanics, but it's using them in a whole new fresh way. So I'm bummed you didn't get to try these. They were pretty fun.
I think I never quite got to, I would lose a race before I got to one of these, I think.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, being that I'm rewinding and you're not, you know, this is probably a lot easier for me. Every time I wiped out or got taken out by a rider, I just back up and try again. Did you ever get the Black Rider mechanic? Did you ever activate Black Rider mode?
No.
Okay. So you see on the screenshot here, you see the player character is jumping and the colors of the racer, like he's like in a black helmet and a black jacket.
Yes.
So this activates in single player mode when you take out another racer, when you cut them off, and the act of you changing lanes into them knocks them down. You go into Black Rider mode and you get an engine that cannot overheat. You get infinite turbo until you fall. And it made the game pretty easy because I was just rewinding every time I fell. So as soon as I took out my first opponent, I could just boost my way through the rest of the game nonstop. But I think that's a cool mechanic. I like this idea that you're rewarded for, you know, being an a-hole and cutting somebody off. And now you're like this evil version of yourself that has, I don't know, an engine from hell that can't overheat or something. I thought that was a cool mode. I was kind of hoping there'd be some sort of version of this in our final game today, some sort of reward, you know, for knocking over opponents.
And knocking over opponents is its own reward.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like teaching.
So my biggest Joy-Con, yeah, because not a lot of other rewards. Joy-Con, I played the single player mode. And Mike, did you beat this game?
No. Did you?
I Nintended. We're getting better at those cues. I beat this game, but it's like one of those games we talked about earlier where when you get to the final track, it just loops endlessly, you know, because this was an arcade game. And so it would just keep going until eventually the player ran out of time. So there's no true ending, but I got as close to an ending as is possible. Do you understand?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, so I'm still counting that as me beating this game. But I still would have liked to see some sort of award ceremony or like credit sequence, something, you know, to reward me for my efforts. Do you have any Joy-Cons about the game? So did you like Versus Excitebike better than the original?
I did. Well, and there's one thing also, because I think that this includes the original in it.
Yeah.
So there's certainly an element of this is going to be foreshadowing.
Yeah.
The original is already effectively present here.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. I know what you're going to say. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry. I was anticipating this foreshadowing thing. You got my English brain going.
Yeah. So, yeah, so there's an element there of anything liked from the previous one is already present here in a sense. I enjoyed this still has the qualifying kind of approach. I enjoyed what this had for the single player stuff has more involved screens in terms of winning and losing.
Yeah, there's a little like celebratory podiums and things.
Yeah, and they don't waste a bunch of time with like needlessly trying to make things animated or something. They're just
I feel like you're talking about that tennis game we played where it zoomed into the net every time.
I mean, not specifically that game, but yes, that game. Yeah. It was a nice sort of recognition. So even though, you know, I didn't reach an end and went, where's my celebration here? I had that stuff at the end of races.
Yeah, there's little celebrations along the way. I'm just a special boy and I wanted a special prize.
Yeah. But so I don't really think I had any particular cons, because then it's adding the two player mode.
Yeah,
the one con I will say, and I you know, this is probably as much my fault as it is the game's fault.
Okay,
because this involved a series of things that at the point where you've done this, it's if you try to play the two player mode by yourself
for science,
and then complete one lap and crash into the back of the player two.
Okay, so you've got all the way around the track.
Yes.
Yeah,
but
okay.
I wanted to know, will these interact? And the answer is yes in battle. We have two modes. You have battle where you actually can interact with one another. You can hit one another. And you have free where that doesn't happen.
Yeah, you just ghost through each other.
Yeah. And so in battle, as player one, I completed one lap, and then I hit the back of player two. And so I crash, and I go off the track, and then I run back and get on the bike right behind player one and crash. Or sorry, right behind player two and crash. And I just got stuck in a loop until the game eventually decided that this was done and kind of called it. But it was this bit of just like, well, I never have a chance to control anything because it sets the bike up where player two already is.
But couldn't you have just grabbed player two controller and just moved him, or you just want to see what would happen?
I don't have a second controller hooked up.
You have every Switch comes with two controllers. The Joy-Cons, they come off the system. I feel like you forgot that.
I play with one controller.
Oh, I understand, but you have them right there. Like you could have taken the Joy-Cons off the machine.
I mean, at the same point, I could have theoretically switched which controller this was to be controller two. My point is, I am only using one controller. Its ability to become two controllers is a separate, like, in any case, I'm going to have to go do some. At that point, I may as well just reset.
Yeah.
Because that is still less work than trying to undo what I did. And it was very much a thing where it's like, yeah, this is very much my fault. Not my fault, but this isn't
it's a prison of your own design.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, this isn't the game's fault. It's not supposed to have a solution to this scenario. It was just this moment of just like, well, this is going to be interesting. What's this going to do? And at some point it gave up. And then my character, the one that had completed one lap, then just like drove through the other one and just like went and finished was declared a winner without having finished the next lap. And it was like,
I mean, this if was the other one's losing that hard. I think they're the winner.
Yeah. Yeah. It was very much like, this is fair. This is just, I'm honestly surprised that the game did something to its credit. It actually at some point went, something's gone wrong.
Yeah, it's more than Golden Axe did.
Wrap things up. Yeah.
Do you have any other thoughts on versus Excitebike before we go to our last game?
I don't think so. I think this pretty much just it adds the bits that seem to be missing to the first one in my mind of
yeah.
some additional saving ability, the ability to play against someone else, and making the completion of races feel a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, a little bit more
more like milestones.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so speaking of milestones, our final game today is Excitebike 64, released in 2004. You guessed it, the Nintendo 64. All right, let's get the official description off Nintendo Switch Online. It says, race the dirt roads and stun the crowd with your style. Grind your way through the extreme sport of motocross and attempt over a dozen outrageous tricks, such as heel clickers, cliffhangers, and bar hops. Select from six different riders, each with their own unique style, and race across 20 stadium tracks and outdoor courses. You can also create your very own courses or race up against up to three of your friends. Excitebike 64. The box art of this game, I think, makes two very different impressions depending on what version you're looking at. So the North American release has, I thought, a pretty cool cover. We have the Excitebike racer, and he's catching big air, as the box says. He's doing a trick as he flies through, kind of in front of the logo. And this is the picture, Mike, that made me realize you could do tricks. The game never explains it to you, even though it has a pretty good, you know, tutorial mode at the start. But by holding down the
what
C
do you, wait,
down
wait, wait,
button,
what do you mean the game never explains it to you, even though it has a tutorial mode?
Never explains how to do tricks?
You didn't finish the tutorial mode.
Pretty sure I did.
When you finish the tutorial mode, this is jumping a point. When you finish the tutorial mode, that's how you unlock the original Excitebike in this game.
Oh. Huh. I wonder why I thought I unlocked... That's so funny.
They kind of break it up into... You have one bit, which is sort of the basics of racing. And okay. The final bit is, like, you have to complete a track in, like, 40 seconds or something.
And, yeah, I did that.
Yeah, and then the next bit moves on to tricks. And it starts off with, like, how to do a wheelie. And then how to do some of the aerial tricks.
I wonder... I think at the end of the first tutorial session... I think there was a button that said start race, and I think there was a button that said like continue, and I guess continue would have taken me to the next tutorial, I assume.
Could well be, something like that.
Yeah, weird. Okay, well, you know what? I can't fault the game for it then, because I guess I just, I was absent that day. I think, though, the Japanese cover of the game, very different vibe, almost kind of sinister, would you agree?
I can see sinister. It certainly reminds me of the... Actually, with that and knowing about the versus Excitebike, like the, was it?
The Black Rider mode.
Black Rider mode. I can see being familiar with that and seeing that and expecting something for eliminating other racers. And
sure.
I feel like that leans into the distinction is that, especially with that, I can see that being more focused on the versus component and eliminating other players. The American cover... With that really makes me feel like this is closer to like a Tony Hawk kind of game.
Yeah, especially with like the logos of the different like bike brands. You got Bell and Thor and Scott and Chewy and FMF.
Well,
you got a guy doing a trick.
The focus on the trick is the big part. And in that sense, I actually feel like I lean closer towards the Japanese version, but I feel like there's an element of what it comes down to is that I don't really care about the tricks too much.
Yeah, so it's weird to see it take front and center.
Yeah, although I guess the checkered flag on there kind of gives some element of also racing.
Right, and there's no checkered flag on the Japanese version. It's all just like rusts and chains and like, you know, so we didn't really describe it for people who aren't watching on YouTube. The Japanese version, it ditches the tricks. It ditches the air. It's just this like kind of almost silhouette grayscale rider, and the Excitebike logo is just so much grittier. Like, it's kind of funny.
Yeah. Is there a reason the X and the K are emphasized? Like, I guess the X makes sense, but the K is weird to me, and I don't know if that's a Japanese thing.
I just feel like there's a visual similarity between Excitebike, like the X and the K. So I don't really have an explanation for you. I do have some trivia for you, though. Would you like to hear some?
I would enjoy some Excitebike 64 trivia.
So we've talked before about how there's a long-running tradition of programmers hiding messages in the game's code. And so this message is hidden in the game's code. It says, "Please don't copy this game, dot dot dot. That would be rude. Hey, what are you doing looking at this binary when you should be looking after my shed?" Is that some reference I'm not getting, Mike? Looking after my shed?
I
I feel
don't.
like that was actually a specific message to a specific programmer.
That is, I want to know where that's supposed to be going, because that does feel like it's.
There's an inside joke we're not on the inside of.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know that there's a cheat mode. You said you activated big head mode. So I assume you know what happens when you put in the code ugly mugs on the cheat
That's
menu.
the picture of the developers, right?
Yeah, picture the developers. Once you click the view credit modes, you can see the developers. And
Oh, good. I was hoping you had that, because when we played, I decided, oh, I'll go back into there. I have no idea why I cannot get back into the cheat mode again. Like, I'd gotten into it earlier in the week.
yeah, it's a little weird because you have to hold down C right and C down at the same time, which on the Switch controller means holding the right stick at the perfect angle because the C buttons are mapped to the right joystick. And this game, as you saw when you booted it up, it took advantage of the Nintendo 64 expansion pack. You had one of these when you were a kid, right, Mike?
Maybe. I'm honestly not sure on the extras we had.
I'm assuming you did because it was used with Star Wars Racer and it was also used with this game. And it allowed the system to go from 4 megabytes of RAM to 8 megabytes of RAM, which is such a tiny, small size compared to modern, computing power. But it gave the game better, more colors, further draw distances. And what was really fun is that the expansion pack actually came with like an ejector tool. You had to like actually remove a piece of the Nintendo 64 to install this thing. And I thought that was kind of cool.
Interesting. So, since you mentioned that impacts draw distance,
Yeah.
I am presuming this means that if you're playing multiplayer, the draw distance is reduced from single player.
Yeah, I would assume, yeah. We don't have the way we can't try. The one on Nintendo Switch Online assumes that this is installed. So, you boot up the game and it says expansion pack detected.
I just mean more in general concept of if you're not changing anything.
Yeah.
If the draw distance varies at all, I would expect that it's adjusting it based off how many players as well.
Yeah, I would think so. And actually, to the game's credit, you and I played the multiplayer mode right before this. I thought the draw distance was pretty good, even in two-player mode. Like, I didn't really feel like the pop-up was much of an issue, did you?
I had felt like I was noticing that more when we were doing that a bit. Not that it was crippling, just that there was a bit more of I am really not sure what to be expecting here. And
And
then
this is
some
a game you played a lot as a kid.
Yes, although I do not remember the tracks that well. So it was more an issue just when we got into a track that I didn't know because I couldn't really see what was coming up that well.
Yeah, but you used to know them like the back of your hand.
I would not be surprised.
I think that the graphics in this game, they feel almost like impossibly good for an N64 game. Like it really reminds me more of like early PlayStation 2 games. Like all the racers have like, their own polygonal bodies interacting with the other racers. The tracks, they have like these lens flares. If a stadium light is in your face, there's rain that's pounding down on you. There's puddles to go through. There's like moving objects. You can jump over a train. I didn't know that the N64 could do polygons so cleanly. Do you like how this game looks too?
I mean, yeah, I don't have the context I put it in terms of other consoles, but there's
Yeah.
nothing about the graphics that bother me, which I think is at a minimum, I'd say it's not overly ambitious or overly simplistic. Like I can, in my mind, sort of, there's two realms that it can go. It either has done no effort to look good, which we've played games that did that,
Yeah.
or it has tried to do too much and it can't pull it off and it looks bad.
Yeah. This
This,
strikes a nice balance.
yeah. I guess for what it could do, it does it well. And so there's no part of it that bothers me with how it's looking.
And I just feel like the game, you know, it's packed to the brim with features. So let me show you like the main menu mode. You have the season mode where you do multiple races against the computer. You have exhibition, which is, you know, up to four players. I had a lot of fun racing against you. I got to admit, I was pretty low on this game going into today. And playing against you, I thought was so much more fun than playing against the computer.
Yeah. Can this do multiplayer in person?
Yeah, we got to try this again at some point.
Yeah, because I would say my one criticism, and because we talked about this for two games, that your bike position matters a lot, and this adds turns.
Yeah, because we should mention this is the first Excitebike game that's 3D. It's fully 3D.
Yeah, so those curves that we were promised two games ago actually materialize here.
And man, the curves are nasty in this game. Like, that sounds kind of a weird way to put it. But, you know, you are having to, like, position yourself in midair, not only vertically but horizontally, to get, like, the perfect angle. And there's just a really high skill ceiling, I think, in this game, way more than, like, Mario Kart.
I say, even if you're not in the air, if you're just making a turn on the ground, to make those sharply, because it's this balance of cutting sharp, leaning in, and then basically correcting that before you release that turn.
Right. And also, you know, that's your main mode of attacking the other racers. So in addition to all of that, you're now also trying to aim yourself into the path of another racer. It's like at any given moment, there's a lot to consider.
I'm not even doing the aiming at other racers, but to do that and not, if you don't undercorrect, you will make that turn and go, you know, straight into the wall after you finish that turn.
Yeah.
So there is a correction that's necessary there. And it did feel like when we were playing where you were hosting the game versus me, for those more precise things, it was that I found it a lot more responsive to what I meant to be doing on my game. Whereas still had, you know, still would botch it, but it didn't feel quite as, it felt responsive and then just me screwing up.
So you have Exhibition Race, which was the multiplayer feature, and then you had Special Tracks, a few of which also had multiplayer features. There was a Stunt Track, where you just competed against other players to do the most stunts.
Well, not just the most stunts, it's the most
the
points.
Highest points. Sure.
Because it starts drop, if you keep doing the same stunt, it gives you less and less points each time.
Okay, so it's got that Tony Hawk mechanic, which is a good mechanic, you know, I like that. I would say that stunts felt a little odd. I don't understand the point of making me hold down a button and then press the other button. I mean, I guess it's because if you're holding down the trick button, then you're no longer affecting the angle of your bike. You're affecting the action of the rider on top.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think that must have felt better on the N64 controller because it felt weird holding down on the right joystick and then pressing other buttons. I just don't feel like it totally clicked using the Switch Modern controller.
You can also use X for that.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. X is C down?
Yes.
Oh, that would have been helpful to know. But I beat you in that mode anyway, so I don't care about that. There is a desert mode. This is my favorite mode in the whole game. So it's really impressive. You are in this wide open desert, and you can go in any direction, but your goal is to race through the open world desert and hit checkpoints faster than the other players. And so you hit a checkpoint and then you have to like turn around and go to a different checkpoint that's like far off on the horizon. And like your bike is kicking up all the sand. And I don't know. I was really impressed by desert mode. I feel like I would play a whole game of this mode where you just drop me in different wide open environments and make me race from checkpoint to checkpoint. I would be so into that. Did you like desert mode? You just tried it for the first time in a while.
Yeah, as soon as I started, this came back. And I will say the biggest frustration to it, I mean, granted, it's...
You missed the arrow. You missed the arrow. The checkpoint is so small.
No, I would say it's because your checkpoints are like campfires in the desert.
Yes. Which is cool because you find them by looking for the smoke on the horizon. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah, or at least you can tell that they're coming up once because you have an arrow to follow.
Yeah.
And as you get close, you'll start to see that. And so it does a very good job of, like, I'm approaching something, of really giving a sense of that. But the frustrating part is, depending on where those are, when they are on top of, like, a dune,
yeah,
you can end up in the situation where it is very easy to, because of just the uneven terrain, you miss it. And it is really hard to circle back and get to something up on the top of that with the way these bikes handle.
Yeah, yeah. But I also thought it was cool, though, in the moments it works, because it's at the top of a dune, so, like, you have just gotten the checkpoint, and now you're in midair because you just cleared a dune jump, and your next checkpoint is in a totally different direction. So now, as I'm soaring through the air, and in desert mode, you get a lot of airtime. I'm now adjusting my bike in midair so that the moment I do land, I'm already shooting off in the right direction. It just felt like a really cool moment.
Yeah, I definitely do wish I had played as someone that had a stronger turbo on that.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah, that was definitely a mistake. As soon as we got into more open areas, like, yeah, this is a bad choice on my part.
So we're not done, though. There's also a soccer mode where you are trying to knock a giant soccer ball across the field into your opponent's goal. This predates Rocket League by almost a decade. And so I really want to know, like, is this just a thing that actually people did in, like, motorbike arenas? Or did Rocket League really rip off Left Field Productions here? Because, I mean, it's Rocket League works better, but it's the exact same premise.
I was briefly, because I think I meant to do this and then I forgot, and then I tried to quickly do this before we recorded this.
There's a lot of pronouns you just threw out there.
Is that a problem?
No, keep going.
All right. was that I seem to have memories of another game that would have been 90s or early 2000s.
You're thinking of Beetle Adventure Racing. Also had a soccer mode.
Am I?
Pretty sure it came after this one.
Okay, because I was thinking, like, I feel like a Volkswagen may be involved here. And I am
so proud of myself for pulling that out of my butt. Wow.
Man, so I feel like this is something that multiple things had. I think this may have, at least with cars, actually been a thing that was done.
Yeah, it seems like something that humankind would eventually evolve to complete in real life.
So I'm not at all surprised by that. It is, this does take a little bit to get the hang of.
The game. Oh, soccer mode. Yeah. This,
yeah.
And that's, I think, one of the most fun things that I had in our multiplayer session is that we had so many close calls. Like, we had races where, like, you know, I was a split second ahead of you across that checkered line. The tricks mode, I beat you by like 20 points. And soccer mode, doesn't matter how that one ended. But like, it was, we went into overtime, you know, and then I got a point in overtime, and, you know, that's when game should have ended.
That's not how soccer works.
I don't care if that's not how soccer works. Why isn't that how soccer works? If you're in overtime and someone gets, it should be whoever gets a goal next.
No, because you're getting extra time.
Yeah, no, I understand. No, I get the phrase overtime mode. I'm saying I don't like it. Should be overtime, overdose.
You're wanting sudden death.
Yeah, I guess that is the phrase. Yeah. I'm a bigger fan of sudden death. It's true. I think I'm also a big fan of a presentation of this game. It has so many little details that I think make it feel like a premium product. So
did you want to mention the other special track?
Well, Hill Climb, I never got it.
Are you familiar with what it is?
If I remember, we used to play it at your house, and it was just like this enormous hill that, like, you'd have to try to get to the top of, but if you wipe out, you fall back down to the bottom.
More or less. Like, I don't remember it fully, but yeah, the gist of it basically is you were having to go up a steep incline, and it very much is a how well you can get the bike to handle that without.
And Mike, why? Okay, look, no one's listening to this podcast yet, but maybe one day someone will. If anyone who works for Nintendo is listening right now, why did you have this cool idea of the SP mode for all your NES games? And now that we're at an era where there's a lot of really cool unlockables in, like, GoldenEye and Excitebike 64, why don't you put an SP mode that has all that stuff unlocked for me? This is exactly why that mode could be really cool. And I feel like y'all forgot about it.
Yeah, no, I think this is a perfect example of where that special mode would have been great. If you could just start with the special tracks unlocked.
Yeah.
Because,
and be greedy with it. Put the games on there and make SP mode for people who own the expansion pack. And it's like, oh, you want to pay the extra $20 a year or whatever? You get the unlockables, you know, and that's dirty, you know.
Because we also didn't get to that they do basically a 3D rendering version of the original Excitebike.
Yeah, yeah. It's just the original Excitebike track, but just in this game style.
Yeah, so it's a 3D rendering of the straight track with no curves.
I would like to see if that was multiplayer as well. I could see that being fun.
We may find that out at some point.
Because you're going to keep playing this and try to unlock more stuff?
Quite probably.
Cool.
But yeah, this entirely is the sort of situation where if we could have just started with that, that would have been great.
And let's also mention the last special track is just the original game of Excitebike. Not versus Excitebikes, not the multiplayer one, the original Excitebike, which, as Mike pointed out, was also in versus Excitebike. So it's like the original Excitebike has just kind of hung out this whole time. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it's in a lot of games.
It sure is. And the thing I was mentioning earlier is that, you know, the presentation of this game, you have this announcer who's like Vicky Steele pulls into the lead, or, oh, you know, Dog Malone falls behind, or whatever. It's just this really dynamic announcer. I thought it was cool. I thought it added a nice little bit of involvement, and, you know, you didn't need to do that. No one would have hated this game, but, you know, if it didn't have it. And then also all the racers, they have like these fully rendered faces that you only ever see in podium moments. They take their helmet off and you can see, oh, that's not just a different color costume. That's a different human being. And I was like, well, good for you. And did you play the trick mode solo, or did you ever do a trick while playing by yourself?
I did the tutorial that had the tricks.
So you know what I'm talking about, where like when you do a trick, it has this cool like camera within a camera thing where it gives you a more dramatic view of your racer so you can really see the trick they're doing. You
know, I can't remember if it did. I'm trying to remember.
Well, it did. I'm telling you it did, and it was really cool.
You know, I mean, I can't remember if the tutorial did it.
Okay. Any other Joy pros? I mean, you're a fan of this game. You've been for ever since you were a kid. Anything else to say that, you know, you like about this game?
I think one thing I'll add, because it does show up in the races, I do appreciate this has branching paths and hidden, quasi-hidden shortcuts.
Yeah, which and are on the map.
Yeah. And I somewhat appreciate, in some cases, they're not really shortcuts, where they're like,
yeah,
this is not worth doing, even if you found it, or it is only worth doing in very limited situations.
Well, it's cool because like a shortcut, I think, often is a bad thing in a racing game, because it's like, oh, if you know where it is and it's just a faster line, you do it every time. And I played racing games where like I never take the main path because the shortcut is too simple. In this game, the shortcuts, they require, there's like a high skill ceiling in not only like turning off the track at the right moment, but then also once you're in the shortcut, you're like going through like this like mine shaft. And so like it's harder to navigate than the traditional path. Or you can lefties mill, you can like jump up on top of the sawmill and like ride this weird like water chute. And it's super cool when it works, but it's really hard to make it to the end without falling. So I like the idea.
It's normally fairly easy to make it to the end. It's just if you miss the jump up there, then you're like having to walk your bike through like a doorway. It's
yeah, there was this great moment where
that was a good like 5 seconds of just like, well, this is going to take a while.
Yeah, I was great because on Nintendo Switch Online, it's funny, you can play online, but you still see the split screen as if you're sitting next to each other. So I'm just cruising through the woods, and I just see Mike like in a dark sawmill at a dead stop, just sort of like staring into a corner. It was very like Blair Witch, if that reference makes any sense to you. Can I criticize the game? Give some Joy-Cons?
How dare you? Go ahead.
I don't think I like playing this game alone. I felt like I was constantly fighting to keep control of my bike. And there are so many hairpin turns in the track design that you have to come to like this dead stop that I felt like getting a really exciting sense of speed kind of felt like a rarity. And so I felt like it was like deliberately mimicking the feeling of spinning my tires in the mud. And to me, like, that's not very fun. Like, I'd rather play Mario Kart, where I feel like I've got a good sensation of speed and it's like a roller coaster, not like this sort of weird obstacle course thing. Those feelings of frustration, though, were gone when we played against each other, because I think in my head, I'm like, well, yeah, this is a tough track, but Mike's having a tough time too. My fellow human being is also struggling with these turns. And the AI is just so competent. Like,
my fellow human being may be one of the nicest things someone said about me.
Oh, Mike. But like, I don't know. I just found the AI so difficult. And I would say you're better at this game than I am. Do you find the AI tough to beat? Because you have to get first in a tournament to unlock more tracks. And that gets difficult.
It does. I think one of the things I didn't play enough to figure out if this is a pattern. I get the impression. So when I think of other racing games, I'm very used to the pattern of, you know, when the race finishes, it is this racer is always first. This racer is usually second. This racer is usually third. And yeah. So you're compete. So to win overall, you really need to be getting like first in every one of them.
Yeah, this game does that better, though, because like the computer players will wind up in drastically different positions. And it's not unusual for the person who was in the lead to drop to like fourth place in the tournament because they got last place in the previous track.
Yeah, and I think because they're fairly equal, so they're usually fairly bunched up. I mean, it's partially why when you get into the second lap on some of these, they'll start throwing like generic gray riders in there just so that there's obstacles for the front riders.
Oh, is that true? They add like dummies?
Yeah,
those are the drones, huh? I saw on the opposite drones on or off. That must be what the drones are.
That would be what they are, yeah. And so you'll get those at the front those are not, or at least it's noticeable at the front when you know like the pack's behind me, but I'm passing someone now, which still gives some challenge up there. But I think their skill level is fairly equal. It's just different stats. And so you can end up in situations where you're not quite as hinging on every race going well. The one spot I did get aggressive and it would have worked if I'd been better later was being in second, knowing I needed to just beat first the person in first by a certain amount going into like the last two tracks.
Okay.
And just knocking that, like ramming them against a wall at this very start and let everybody else get ahead with the logic of I just need to slow them down enough and try and catch up and work this margin. But otherwise
you moneyballed him.
Yeah, this was very much game theory. It's like I only need to win by a certain amount here.
Yeah, but did you have a control enough over your bike to actually target that racer? I feel like that'd be impossible. This game just doesn't control.
Oh no, that one was easy. That was just the right at the start is really just, and especially because you start in rank order from first onward. So if you're in second and first is right next to you, it's immediately just like, all right, we're just going to hit turbo and left and we will both hit a wall. And then I'll hope I can make this up. I was going to say, I think, because you're talking about these sort of areas where you're really in the sense of speed. I actually think, because you're talking about like the corners mattering more. And I think a lot more of this, honestly, on some level, parts of this game start, there are certain levels that resemble my approach to ice skating when last I did that, which is that where I don't really know how to turn and I just pick up speed and then hit a wall and then we'll work my way around the rink and do it again.
Yeah, that's how I roller skate. I just went for the first time.
Yeah, it's like I cannot do the turning at all. Here, it's a lot of practice and it is why it's very finicky. And so when you can get it to work, you can at least mostly make those. But the part that actually is where this really matters are the closer to the straightaways.
Yeah.
Where you get into hills and valleys and where you know the right spots to, if you land on a downward slope, you keep all your speed and will pick up more speed.
Yeah.
And so what I will say is there's never a spot where like you get through a couple turns and it's like, that was a satisfying turn in my mind.
Yeah.
But there are bits that were incredibly satisfying where you're hitting hills at the right way. And because if you hit the first hill right, there's one of the levels, it's the Grand Canyon-y level. There's a bit after you come around, you come through a tunnel and then hit it's a hill where if you hit that hill fast enough, you come down on the downside of the next big hill and then have another hill right after that you clear like two small hills in one go. And the feeling of hitting that just right so that you basically clear the whole rest of the thing and pass whoever couldn't do that is really satisfying.
Yeah, and I played this game. The Switch shows you how long you played. I played this game for 7 hours and 20 minutes. And like, you know, I'm not the best gamer, but you know, I'm decent. And I just feel like in all of that time, I wanted to really feel like I was getting better at the game. And I don't know. I just was really not getting that feeling. And
no, I think that's
the kids would say get good is what they'd say these days.
I nearly did.
But yeah, I'm sure you did.
But no, I think it's getting the sense of those. And it's why for me, the hardest levels are the ones that are heavily turn-based.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like the way that I mean that, but whatever.
I don't even get what you aren't getting at. But anyway,
I mean that has a lot of turns and not turn-based, like, all right, my cyclist has made a jump. Now you go.
Oh, turn-based, right, like an RPG.
Yeah.
That'd be fascinating. A turn-based racing game. That'd be pretty cool, actually.
That's got to exist.
Got to be. Some board game, I'm sure.
We'll figure that out later.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so I think, and the turns still are trickier. And so the more it relies on the turns, the tougher. Whereas something that has those hills, that is where it has the most satisfying bit. And it's actually, I mean, this is how on one of our last, I think it was one of our last races, where you passed me at the very end, because I mistimed one of those
hills.
Those hills and slowed down, and you went soaring right by me.
Yeah, it was a good moment. I just feel like there's a sequel to this game that has kind of all these concepts, all these modes, just controls a little bit tighter. And like, I wish it had the crash mechanic of like cruising, where it's like, yeah, I've crashed. Yes, I'm losing speed, but like my character still launches in the direction you're supposed to go. And like maybe the biker lands on the bike automatically. I get that I'm changing the genre. I'm going from a racing sim to like an arcade racer. But I'm just thinking, like, why wasn't I having more fun?
I will say I wish there was a better solution to this, because this did happen to me. And it's this thing where I'm like, I feel like there's an opportunity for this to be a fun mechanic, which is on some of the indoor tracks. Because there's a split between the indoor tracks that are like an arena and outdoor.
It's like half and half.
Yeah. On one of the indoor tracks, I managed to, you know, misaimed a jump and ended up landing outside the barricade.
Oh, like in the audience?
Not in the audience. It's still on the arena, literally just on the other side of the barricade, to the point where I'm like, I'm not on the track, but I'm also not where the game thinks a boundary is.
Oh, okay. So the race continued.
The race continued, and it's like, I wish there was a better recovery for this, because it would be awesome if it's like, okay, I'm landed out here. I can still go. Like, I made it to, like, the next turn before I actually crashed, because I couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, the narrow window between wall and imaginary wall of now we're calling you out of bounds was very small. And I was like, can I jump back in? Because that would be great.
I think that would actually go a long way towards me liking this game more, is like if you had some sort of jump button. I'm not saying like let you bounce everywhere like Mario, but some sort of way to like throw my weight up and like clear a small obstacle so that when I'm like being stopped by like a little hill or there's a root or something, that'd be really thrilling. But you know, I try not to do this though. Like,
I wonder if a wheelie would do that.
Yeah. Yeah. The wheelie was very hard to control, as it probably should be.
Yeah.
Okay, so anything else to say about this game, Joy Pro or Joy Con, before we go on to our ratings?
I don't think so. I think I've covered how you're wrong and what you think is wrong with this, but I think
you gotta relax a little bit. Okay, so let's go through these. Let's declare each game a Nintendo or a Nintendo don't, starting off with the original Excite Bike. Mike, where'd you land on this one?
Sort of downhill.
Yeah, so it's a Nintendo don't.
No, I mean, I'm gonna say really, this is in the other two games.
Yeah, so why would you boot up just this version?
Yeah, I think it's much more satisfying to be the occasional treat in Excite Bike 64.
Yeah.
Than its own
thing. So I think I don't know how you're ranking yours, but when a game is rendered obsolete, so like this happened with Mario Brothers, I like that game on the NES. There's just a better version on the Game Boy Advance that you have as part of the Nintendo Switch Online Collection, if you have the expansion pack like we do. So this is a Nintendo don't for me. I just think it deserves a lot of credit, you know, for what it accomplished, but there's just a categorically better game coming up. So Excitebike for me, Nintendon't. Where did you land?
I think it's going to be Nintendon't for similar reasons.
How about versus Excitebike?
I would go Nintendo on this.
Same. And you didn't even get to the whole, you know, game. You never even tried the bonus levels, which are even their own type of fun. But I just think, yeah, versus Excitebike, it's kind of rare. You know, the original Excitebike has been ported a lot of times, but this is just so much a better version. More sounds, better, more colors, more modes.
Before I'm going to briefly, because I don't think you may not have an answer for this. If this was only released in Japan, why do we have this in English? Was this always in English? Or
so English is so commonly spoken in Japan. It's like a graduation requirement that I know a lot of things will sometimes be either presented in English or like there's some kind of dip switch on a machine or I'll be honest. I don't know. I just know that it's not that rare to see English menus.
This wouldn't have needed any porting. This would have just is because this also explains why I couldn't find a manual for this, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I would guess that's probably why. So then I think it's pretty obvious that you're a Nintendo on Excitebike 64. Would you go as far to say you're a Super Nintendo?
I think I'm going to reserve those Super Nintendos, but this is definitely a strong Nintendo for me.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a game from your child. You really liked it. So I want to read something to you. This is what I wrote this morning, or last night, actually. This is perhaps the best game I've ever rated poorly. In preparing for this podcast, the game just never clicked with me. I didn't look forward to booting it back up, and I don't think I'll ever revisit it. If you're going to try it, go straight to Special Tracks and boot up the instantly fun open world desert race. But I can't recommend a game slowly based on such a limited special feature. Your time is better spent with other racing games, including the much simpler but much more entertaining versus Excitebike. And I'm reading that word for word to say that people should keep an open mind. I hate when people have an opinion and they're just like, oh, that's just my truth. That's just how I think. I think people need to be more flexible. I'm so happy to say that this, in the course of a couple hours, has switched from a Nintendon't to a Nintendo for me. I had so much fun racing against you. I think my frustrations with the game and that it being hard to learn and hard to control, those felt so much worse racing against AI, who I felt was just kind of showboating on me. But I loved racing against you. I thought the soccer mode, real buggy, you know, but still fun, you know, in a really dorky way.
Buggy, or you just don't like how soccer works? Those are different statements.
You saw me stop, okay? Overtime was over in our hearts and minds. You are... I think I can't say it's a strong Nintendo. I still think the game has a lot of issues, but I think you get a friend playing with you. I think this is worth your time. It's a Nintendo for me. Yeah, but it wasn't, but it is now.
Yeah, I think the only thing is that it is a different style of racing to just go fast.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the game. It's one of the more technical racing games I think I've ever played.
Yeah, honestly. And I think I live with this. This is one of the only ones where the way you land really matters. And that was true about the first one. It's true all the way through this.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice evolution of it. Okay, well, Mike, we did it. That's XXX. That's our triple X. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe if you think we deserve it. We can also check us out at theoldswitcheroo.com. We've got links to our YouTube videos up there. We're going to have a link to our Discord. So join us and talk to us about games, because we don't have a lot of fans yet. But you know what? I believe in us. And this is going to go big one time. Mike, I forgot to tell you. Congratulations, by the way. Our podcast has crossed a really cool milestone. Do you know what it is?
I do not know what it is.
Over half of all the podcasts in existence have less than 10 episodes. So, followers be damned, we have created more content than most podcasters. How's that feel?
Or at least more episodes, more content, maybe slightly more subjective. But that is good to know that we reached that point.
I think it's pretty cool. You know, at the very least, we didn't quit as soon as most people.
Yes.
So, everybody, you should join us next time. We're going to be try-forcing it up with Zelda streamer Riri Yells. She's a Zelda expert, and it was a really fun recording. And with her, we're going to be playing our way through The Legend of Zelda and Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link, the two games that started it all. And it was definitely a fun conversation, so be sure to check that out next time. Thank you for listening. This has been the Old Switcheroo, where we've been talking gaming retro with Mike and JMO.
I've been Mike.
And I've been JMO. Game on, everyone. This ball looks weird to you, right?
Oh, that wasn't fair.
I think, I don't know if unfair is the right. Hey, look at that. Did you see what just happened?
No.
I got some kind of speed boost from knocking you over.
You know, I can't remember if I ever knew how to succeed at this.
But soccer?
Yes.
Yay! Do you... I mean, I guess we might as well finish out the half.
I mean, I figure we can finish this whole thing, and this either I recover or this is a monumental wipeout. And I accept...
I mean, I don't think I'm going to let you get... I'm not going to let you catch up. Like, I say that with a lot of confidence as he goes and gets a point right away. Dick. All right, I'll probably not let you catch up. So I think we tried this enough, right? Like, we get the idea. God, I let you catch up. What are you doing differently? Almost, there we go. Yeah, take that, Mike. Overtime required. Exciting. Oh. Oh, Tuke. Wait, why is it still, what?
Because it's an overtime period.
It should have been first in the next goal.
Nope.
Well, that's not how overtime should work. I'm so, no. That's bullshit.
It's,
I do not accept
soccer.
No. Forget your. They should change the rules of actual soccer. That is ridiculous. You took advantage of me, Mike. No way. No way. No. That's. You saw me. I stopped paying attention. I thought the overtime was over.
I mean,
no.
That sounds like a personal problem.
Nope. I don't accept that defeat. I don't.